This is Radio City Talk.
Joined by Neil Atkinson from the Anfield Rap. Morning to you, Neil.
Good morning.
I want to talk about summer acquisitions. We'll do that in a moment. Before then, I just want to know, what is your favourite goal of the season? Does Roberto Firmino's goal maybe supersede Jordan Henderson's goal at Chelsea? Is there another goal that really takes your liking that you've replayed in your mind a few times?
Well, you've got to have Mane's at Goodison because of the entire sort of...
The nature.
And the moment of it, the 94th minute. Any goal in the 94th minute in any game, spectacular. In a local derby, even better. And in a local derby away from home, even better again. So I'd have them in there. I think Henderson's is a great shout, to be honest with you. I think, though, I think the one at the weekend becomes... If come the end of the season, and last night's result only helps, if come the end of the season we're talking about Liverpool as having reclaimed a place in the Champions League, and possibly, and it's important this, possibly also done so in third place, then I think we could be talking about that as the key moment of the campaign, because everything that's on it, the nature of it, the fact that it's the way the team selection had gone, the way the manager made the changes, and then the performance that both Coutinho, but especially Firmino, I think Coutinho, you could see, after about 25 minutes on the pitch, you could see why he couldn't play, if you know what I mean. I thought he just fell off a cliff from about 75. I thought he was done. Whereas Firmino was so bright. And I think Firmino has been struggling a little bit recently, and I think the manager's got to look at himself a little bit for that, because, for instance, against Bournemouth, he plays that, you know, you could have took Firmino off on 70 and just given him 20 minutes off. You know what I mean? Instead, he ran him into the ground, pulled him wide. I think it's because he relies on him so much and he trusts him so much to do sensible things. But I just think that, you know, Firmino's sitting there, he's played almost every minute of the season, whenever he's been fit, he's been selected, and he's sitting there, and he must be watching that first half thinking, there's loads of space here, boys, why aren't we doing better? These are rubbish, come on, let's go. And then he gets the opportunity to show it, and I just think his entire performance was brilliant. But, yeah, it's one that Liverpool have really, really dug out there. And if they do go on and finish in the top four, and as I say, that now looks more likely than ever after last night's Arsenal result, then I think it's fabulous news.
You could see it across all their faces. There was the pose of Firmino as well said an awful lot of things. Personally, I think it said quite a bit about himself. People have sometimes pointed the finger at him and said, oh, you're not a proper number nine, you're not scoring as many goals as you should do.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something he's a side of his game he needs to sort of look to improve a little bit. I think he needs to just have more shots at times. I think his actual shots to goal ratio, someone was telling me the other day, is the same as Harry's, is approximately the same as Harry Kane's. But he's so unselfish. You know, for instance, as a really good example, the little backflick for Lallana through at Man City. Harry Kane shoots, if you know what I mean. In that scenario, even though it's a tight angle by that point, when he knocks it back into Lallana, he does the right thing, knocking it back into, he does the unselfish thing, but then Lallana misses. So at that point, you're going, well, you could just have had a shot there yourself. Forget Lallana for a second. And as I say, Harry Kane in that scenario, he wallops it hard and low at the goal, and it probably goes in because the keeper's not set. But I think a little bit of that, a little bit of being that tiny bit more selfish at times, and then combined with obviously slightly improving in terms of his accuracy and in terms of his efforts, I think it had helped massively. But every other aspect of his game, I think, as a number nine, not as a false nine, not as whatever you want to call it, as a number nine, every other aspect apart from sticking the ball in the back of the net, I think it's remarkable. I think he's underrated still as to how good he is in general play as a centre forward, because that's what he is for me. He's a centre forward. He looks at his best playing as a forward through the centre, and that's why if you're going to ask me who I buy, for instance, I wouldn't buy a number nine.
Because you think there's more growth from him. But he has had that tag, hasn't he, that goes like, if you are a centre forward, then you shoulder the burden of bringing home 20 goals.
Yeah, but I think if you're a left side of forward, you shoulder the burden of bringing home 20 goals. I think if you're a right side of forward, you shoulder the burden of bringing home 20 goals. I think if you play the system that Liverpool are playing, and the system that Liverpool are currently playing, Jurgen Klopp didn't play last season. I don't think he played it once last season. But let's presume on the basis Liverpool are going to, for most games, keep playing the way in which they're playing at the moment. But we can't say that with any degree of certainty because he didn't do this last season. But I actually think that it's the way in which he's committed to. I think he's done his research, he's done his homework. It's not too dissimilar to Mourinho's first side of 04, 05, 05, 06. That played 4-3-3 with Duff, Robin and Drogba up front. It's not dissimilar to Ferguson's dominant side that comes through 07, 08, 08, 09 that had Tevez, Rooney, Ronaldo and then latterly Berbatov. They played a 4-3-3 a lot of the time. So I suspect he's looked into what really works, what scrapes the heights in English football, and I think he's settled that this might be the case. But even on Drogba, those first two seasons, Drogba at Chelsea 04-05 and 05-06, when Chelsea are unplayable at times, Drogba in his first season, he doesn't reach double figures. He'll get six. in six league goals, but the players around him, he causes so much trouble, he creates so much space, he's so good on the ball. The players around him are just scoring goal after goal after goal after goal. And I think that that's what, to a certain extent, even though he's not quite got the physical presence of Drogba, I think that's what Klopp wants from Firmino. And then, but then the onus is on, and this is where, you know, as I say, this is where I'd be looking to spend some money. The onus is on ensuring that, for instance, Liverpool can always put a front three on the pitch, where you're able to look across the front three and go, those lads between them, they're all at least 15 goal a season merchants. Every single one of that front three, whoever he selects, is a 15 goal a season man. And if you can do that, and Firmino is a 15 goal a season man, he'll probably end the season with about 13. So he still needs to improve a little bit. But 15 goals a season without including penalties, if from your front three is 45, and that's something that you can work with. And then if Lallana's chipping in with 10, Coutinho, if he's playing a bit deeper at times, is chipping in with 10. And then you're looking at Wijnaldum chipping in with 5 to 10, Henderson chipping in with 5 to 10. Then you begin to, that's how you make your goals up, by spreading them out.
Coutinho looking consistent at the moment. How close to being the complete number 10 is he? You'd certainly put him in the top five in the country in terms of what he does in his position. How close to being the very best he can be?
I think he's still a way to go. And I think he's... If he's playing left-sided forward, again, there's got to be... I'm not necessarily convinced on him as a left-sided forward. His last two games where he's not been well and the goals he's scored, I think, have been as significant, if not more significant, than the 25-yarders. He scored goals from inside the 18-yard box where somebody else has done the good work, and he's just got to get the ball in the back of the net. And I think that I'm really pleased he scored those goals, because they're the goals he's actually been missing. If he's going to play in that front three, exactly the same way as Firmino, he has got to look like a 15 goal a season man.
Is that where you prefer him?
No, I'd like to see him deeper.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see him. I think there's an argument that there's some games next season, and I'm talking about if we're going to play the same system, I'm talking about the bottom 10 at home, where Liverpool just commit to the idea of, we know what they're going to do. They know what they're going to do. They're going to sit deep. They're going to try and hit on the break. They're going to hit with size, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to see it over and over again. So I'd just go, all right, well, we play Jordan Henderson, and then in front of them we play Lallana and Coutinho, and in front of them we play a front three. Yeah. And we go, well, all right then, so we know what you're going to do. Now you know what we're going to do. Let's just do that, and we think we'll do our version of it better. And that's what I'd look to do. And then some games I'd be resting Lallana, because I think in general the managers had to, because of the size of the squad this season. You know, he's talking about Firmino, he feels he's played too many games. I don't think Firmino's alone in that. I think Lallana, the work that they get through, if Liverpool do have Champions League football, Liverpool need to be able to pick a team that goes to Porto on Wednesday and gets a result, and then plays in the half 12 on Saturday against Burnley away.
And they haven't got that at the moment.
And they haven't got that at the moment. No. And can play with intensity. So I think I think it's perfectly valid that Jurgen Klopp sits there and says to himself, what would Alex Ferguson do? And that's his transfer strategy. So what would Alex Ferguson do? And for me, Alex Ferguson would buy the best centre-half he possibly can, the very best centre-half that he possibly can. And if that costs 50 million, then we buy the 50 million one. If it costs 30 million, we buy the 30 million one. But buy the best centre-half that you can get your hands on.
Throw your 5 pence into the Mamadou Sakho conversation then.
I don't think that Mamadou Sakho is that good. I don't think he's that bad. I think he's probably about as good as Matip and Lovren. He might be a little bit worse. He might be a little bit better.
So no significant difference if you bring Mamadou Sakho back into the Liverpool.
No, but I think you end up with another very good centre-half. I think he's clearly better than Clavin, but then there's a disciplinary issue that the manager's decided to act on. If he wants to bring him back, and the two of them can sort it out, but I wouldn't be looking at Lovren or Sakho as...
Sakho isn't the answer to bringing the best centre-half back to the club.
No, not at all. I don't think you can say he is the best centre-half. I don't think he'd be the worst. I think he'd be better than Clavin. But Liverpool bought Clavin to be fourth choice. They bought Clavin before there was the Sakho kickoff on pre-season training. Everyone forgets the timeline. It was a week and a half before Clavin signs. So that's been in the works across the summer. Liverpool were buying Clavin anyway. Clavin doesn't replace Sakho. Sakho just goes and the club choose not to replace him. Jurgen Klopp chooses not to replace him.
Have you seen these comments from Michael Beale, the former under-23 manager? So he says they'd have won the final against Sevilla if he'd have played in the game.
Quite possibly. I think that's a really fair analysis, but then he doesn't play in the game partially because of UEFA, but also partially because he takes something not sanctioned by the club, which is all over the public domain. He takes something not sanctioned by the club, and then he comes back and the club don't like his, well, Klopp doesn't like his behaviour. And again, let's be clear on this. This is the manager who's got a manager group of players, which includes young players, deciding that he's not tolerating a certain style of behaviour and what he sees as disrespect towards the rules of the football club. The problem that you have with this is we don't know anything about any of this. in that we're not there, we're not privy to this. We don't get to see exactly what this was. You can see the stuff that's written, but you don't know. You know, you can say, well, if he'd been late for a few of this and a bit of this, but if the manager sat down and said, the most important thing for me, boys, this season, in general, when I run a football club, is that you respect one another, you respect the way in which we conduct ourselves, that you respect our times, you respect the time of the people who are working with you. That's the most important thing. And if you do that, everything else, I'll back you 100%. And then there's one person who absolutely refuses to do that repeatedly, no matter how many times he's warned, and then refuses to apologise for it.
You have to make an example of that person.
Well, you have to, unless that person's as good at football as Leo Messi. And this is where the idea that he should be a special case because he's exceptionally good.
Well, and yet he's being made out to be on some sort of different level, isn't he?
Yeah, because it's...
I don't know if that's just a press agenda because it suits.
No, I think it's absence makes the heart grow fonder to a certain extent. But Mamadou Sakho was part of a Liverpool side that conceded 50 goals last season and 49 the season before. And he was in the 13-14 side on and off. I like him. I think he's a very, very good player. I think he's got a minor problem, which is, firstly, I think he's the sort of centre-half who wants to be constantly in the action. And that isn't really an option for you when you're playing for Liverpool because there's a lot of time when the ball's up the other end of the pitch. And I think he's got another issue, which is that in general, he's the sort of footballer who... I think that if you're a centre-back and you're playing with another centre-back, you want to know that 19 games out of 20, the centre-back to your left has a 7, 7.5 out of 10 game. You know exactly what he's going to do at all times, and you can relax with that. I think, though, Sakho can have an 8, he can have a 9, he can have a 4. And I think that's difficult. He'll average out exactly the same as, for instance, Matip, as, for instance, Lovren. Not exactly the same, but, you know, approximately the same. You know, touch and go is what I'm saying. But you need to know that the lad next to you is going to be absolutely rock solid.
And so his highs are high.
His highs are high, but his lows are lows. And in fact, and there's another problem as well, which is that he's got an injury record. Now, I think Dejan Lovren's got an injury record as well. Liverpool have only been able to field what we call the first choice back four this season about 7 times.
I was going to ask you about this. Have Liverpool been unlucky this season? If we say Henderson, Coutinho, Lallana, Mane, Gomez, Gruich, Lovren, and possibly a few others, that sounds like a distinctly heavier injury list than perhaps other teams would have had with some first choice players.
I think other teams that were able to buy players, other teams buy players who get fewer injuries. So it's no surprise Coutinho will have an injury season. Henderson now, whether we like it or not, whether I like it or not,
I think
you're looking at getting one significant layoff a season from Henderson. Mane, given the sort of player he is, to be fair to Liverpool, he didn't have much of an injury record before he's arrived, and this feels like a one-off. And touch all necessary wood, it is a one-off. The other time we miss him is through the Cup of Nations. But for instance, I think that Lovren has an injury record.
Well, he's prone to it, isn't he?
Yeah, so that's what you've got to... injury prone makes it sound as though you think that the player's faking or it's a bit daft. I just think that you're looking at, in Lovren, you're looking at a centre-back who's going to miss 2 months a season, say, with an injury at some point. Matip's been getting knocks here and there, getting bruises a little bit. And again, Liverpool have got that lad in on a free. It wasn't as though there were other clubs kicking the door down to box it, as far as we know. And I think that one of the things that you're able to do, you look at Barcelona. Barcelona's front three is Neymar, Suarez and Messi. They don't get injured. And part of the reason why they're so good is because they don't get injured. Part of the reason why they're so good is that they're just so good. Cristiano Ronaldo has only really developed a slight injury record in the last couple of seasons as his body gets older.
Which is remarkable considering what he puts his body through.
Exactly. Gareth Bale doesn't get that many injuries. He's just come back from one this season, but that was the first time I think he's had a significant layoff. My point about this is that when you're talking about the very elite players, there is actually a note. You can actually go through and go, well, they don't get that many injuries. And I think that that's one of the reasons why they all end up playing with one another, is because if you've got the most money and the biggest wage budget, you can choose that this is something that you don't compromise on. You don't get to say to one another, well, we'll try and keep him fit. You just get one. You just go and get the best. If you've got two players to choose from and one's a bit injury prone and the other one's not, you say, well, we'll have the one who's not injury prone because we'll get him on the pitch more often. But Liverpool have got to think about this season. When you're asking me about who to buy, I'd buy the best centre half that you can get, who you feel as though you can look at. So this is a mark against Virgil van Dijk. For me, who I think is a bit overrated anyway, but van Dijk has now been out for 3 months this season, which has really derailed Southampton up to and including a League Cup final. And you can say, well, it's not his fault and this sounds really harsh, but we haven't got room for that. We haven't got time for that. If Liverpool are going to go and spend big money on a centre-back, they need to know he's a lad who they're going to get on the pitch for 35 times out of 38. That's literally how this works. So that's something to look for. But I think Liverpool should spend big money on a centre-back. That's what Alex Ferguson would do. Alex Ferguson would then would buy three forwards because he'd say, I always want to be able to play with quality forwards, and I'd buy three forwards. I'd buy a lad who plays when Manny doesn't play. I'd buy one off who can play off the left, who could also cover Firmino as a number nine. So like when David Villa went to Barcelona, a forward, not a continuous an attacking midfielder who's playing as a left sided forward. I'd buy a forward who can play off the left, as I say, like David Villa. If you're going to play a front three, have them be three forwards. And I'd buy a big physical presence as well. I'd look to get that one cheap. I like Chris Wood at Leeds. I'd love to get someone in for 10, 15 million and have them come in with no pressure. Be the new Danny Ings, but someone who's 6'3", 6'4", to help Liverpool when we go away to Hull in the depths of December and they just let us cross it. Well, if you can make a change on 60 minutes to bring someone in who likes to head it, then they won't let you cross it anymore because they think, oh, at some point this lad wins the header. And I think that Liverpool, they don't have to start with that player. It's important that they don't spend a lot of money on that player like they did with Benteke and Carroll. It's someone who they just have. Knocking round, so there isn't some sort of press clamour of when are you going to play him, which is the problem that they always had with Benteke. And then I'd look at what money you've got left, and I'd say, right, okay, how good's Gruitch? And I'd look to buy a left back who's under the age of 21, and I'd still keep Milner on the pitch at left back because the manager loves him.
This is Radio City Talk.